Friends, good morning. A pleasure to see you, and thank you for making your way to church on a frigid morning. There are fewer of us here at the moment, understandably, probably more of you joining us from online. We welcome you and thank you for joining, though please know those of us in this space are feeling superior. As always, there are words of information and announcement in your bulletin insert, quite a few of them. Let me briefly go through some of the highlights. A reminder that our church is hosting the Daytime Warming Center this coming February, that is next month, on 2 weeks, and we are still needing volunteers. Volunteers to be here, or volunteers to bring ingredients for meals that will be prepared. There will be somebody at the ministry station out in the hallway to help explain all of that with details. You also can read about it here. You can sign up your desire to volunteer also online. I'm happy to announce that our student ministry weekly meetings begin again this week. We are resuming for the new semester, Wednesdays again, beginning at 5:30. Get out the word to students you may know. We have a home-cooked meal most weeks. We certainly do this week. And then we have discussion on important matters, and those discussions are lively and good. Stan, what am I leaving out so far? Thank you. Please notice in your insert a word from our moderator, Robbie Stapleton, concerning the stewardship appeal made to our congregation and the repeated appeal that came later. She is reporting the good news. Now, this congregation responded positively and generously. Please celebrate with us the faithfulness that has been exhibited by some in this church family. It doesn't mean that funding for the ministry of the church is an easy thing, and certainly not that it will remain an easy thing to do. But we have something for the moment to be so grateful for, and I invite you to read the details. Now the time has come for us to begin our worship of the living God, who is very much present to us here and present to you there with us. Let our hearts grow centered, open, responsive to the presence of the Spirit, to what the Spirit would give to us this day, and what the Spirit may ask of us as well. Let us worship.
As you are able, please rise in body or in spirit. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we've come together, ready and not quite ready, to worship you, to talk with you, to be changed by our walk with you. Fill us, turn us, shape us today with your holy comfort and your holy discomfort, that we might know you and be in this world your holy comforters and your holy discomforters. Dear Creator, Spirit, Advocate, Savior of us all, we're ready now. Here we are, yours. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too high, beyond my reach.
It was you who formed my inner parts. You made me together in my mother's womb.
How wonderful are your works. I know this right well.
How great is to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than sand.
Thank you.
Hear now from the prophet Isaiah. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reading. He was reading from the Psalms, Psalm 139, and there was something in there about knitting. So I brought my knitting today. It says that, well, that God knit you. That God knit you, created you. That's an interesting way to say it, huh? That God created you. God made your eyes. Let's see, we have some brown eyes. Some blue eyes, some green eyes. God made your eyes, knit, well, made your eyes that way. And God knit your heart, created your heart, the heart that pumps blood in your body and the heart that feels things. Ooh, and your hair. God knit your hair, made your hair, made you. That's an important part of you. And your brain, the way you think, and your skin. Can you all put your hands in? Let's see your skin. Yeah, all the different shades of skin, that's part of how God knit all people. Yeah. And your feet. And your arms, your feet and your arms, all these things. Hey, you know what? Can we all say together, God made us? And then guess what? I'm going to ask the teenagers and the grown-ups and everybody in the choir, after we say, God made us, they're going to say, God did good. Because in the psalm we hear this, that God knit you, and oh, you are such incredible creations that God made. So we're going to say, God made us, and you all are going to say, God did good, and maybe a thumbs up. Can you do that? Okay, ready? Our job is to say, God made us. And then listen to what they have to say to us. Here we go. God made us.
God.
Let's see what else God knit. Well, oh, hey, we heard about brains. God helps you be thinkers. And God helps you be people who care. And the ways you love, all the ways you love, God knit that into you too. Can we say it again? God made us. And then they'll respond. Let's say it together. God made us.
God did good.
Oh, God did good with us. Yeah, let's see what else happens. Oh, God created us to grow. He knit that into, God did that. Knit us into changers. We change and we grow. Oh, we become new. Sometimes becoming new might be hard or changing to a new row. God keeps knitting us, and we keep growing and changing. You might need a lot of yarn. God's lots of good ideas from God. You have been created by God.
Ooh,
maybe God doesn't actually need yarn. Yeah. Hey, let's say it one more time, that God made us. And it's good. Here we go. God made us.
God is good.
Let's pray. Can you put your hands way above your head? Oh, and then maybe stretch them way out. And then maybe way in front of you. Yeah. God, we thank you for these bodies that you made us, the bodies we're in, our spirits inside of us, the way we are in the world, the ways you invite us to think and to change and to be. God, you did that. You knit us together. And it is good. Help us to be who you want us to be in the world. Okay, let's put our hands above our heads and say amen real loud. Amen! Good. Let's head to church school together.
Now would you stand, please, for reading from the Gospel of John. Jesus has called a man named Philip to follow him, and our reading begins. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You'll see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. God of thresholds, God of epiphanies, God of the fresh start, the brightness of your love shines beyond all we can see or comprehend. Your goodness shimmers beneath the surface of everything we know. We can scarcely fathom the staggering scope of so much grace. But in response to what we do see of your light, we lift your praise, our love, and our lives. And we also offer these, our prayers. We pray for all those who live in places of violence and unrest, for Palestinian children in Gaza, for the Jews who are held hostage. We pray for all who suffer sickness or sorrow, for those in need of food and shelter, for the forgotten, the lonely, the despised. We pray for humanitarian aid to reach those who need it most, in Gaza, in Ethiopia. We pray for the leaders of our world and for people who serve in quiet and hidden ways. We honor and remember leaders, prophets from biblical times today to today, who stood up for the oppressed, who stood on the side of justice for women, for children, for the disabled, for the mentally ill, for the poor, for racial and ethnic and religious minorities, for gender minorities and sexual minorities, for the addicted, the abused, the marginalized, and the mistreated. We are grateful for prophets who have shown us how to stand up for these and for others. And we pray for the courage and the will to do so. And this weekend, as we especially honor the memory of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we pray for the courage to do more than simply remember. Make us honest about racial realities. Give us the willingness to listen and to learn from those whose experiences differ from our own. Give us the willingness to believe the experience of others and to hear their pain. Give us imagination, the ability to envision a new reality, and the creativity to think and to do differently, so that we might live together toward that reality. Make us open-hearted and open-minded, and grant us your great grace in building new community in our world. Make us instruments not only of peace but of hope, and not only of hope but of joy, and not only of joy but of love. A love that works itself out in public as justice and true equality. In love, we offer specific prayers for those in our midst we know who are hurting. We pray for the family and friends of Maria Piantozzi, for Marlene Francis, Eva Kelly, Jill Damon, Betty Gerstler, Marilyn Marsh, Esther Floyd, Mervyn Yercourts, David Gregg. Pray for Mike Kelly, Beth Granberry, the Stotts family, Lovely Varghese, Paul Larson. We pray for Grange Burnside, the Sanford family, for Mrs. Essie Slaughter, Simona Butler, John Rowe, and Faye Key. Oh God, you draw us to yourself. Keep us always open to your call. Let us approach one another and all of your creatures with reverence and humility. Stir in us the willingness, the courage, and the power to stand for justice, to stand for righteousness, to stand for love. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
man is sitting under a tree. His name is Nathaniel. A friend of his is named Philip, and he now rushes up to Nathaniel with news. But before we hear that news, take a look at that tree. It's got figs on it, which for some reason seems important, because the story points out not once but twice that it was a fig tree. What's up with that? Probably it's because of a famous line from the prophet Micah, which says that when God's new day comes, the people shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not rise up against nation, nor shall they learn of war anymore. But each person will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree. So Nathaniel looks like a man whose mind is on God's future. Looks like someone who would be waiting, longing for the day of peace, taking his expectant position under such a tree. Now, his friend Philip says, we found the one the prophet spoke of. His name is Jesus, and he's from Nazareth. You found the Messiah? You said he's from where? Nazareth. And Nathaniel rolls his eyes. Oh, please. Can anything good come from that place? Little podunk village, backward people, nobody educated. Nobody that the whole wide world is waiting for is going to come from such a place as that. Philip's answer is simply this. Why don't you come and see? And Nathaniel gets up and goes with his friend. When they arrive, Jesus looks up. I think he smiles as he says, here is a true Israelite. There's nothing dishonest about him. Nathaniel says, you know me from where? Jesus says, I saw you before Philip did, under that fig tree. And hearing those words and something in how Jesus said it, an intimation, a sudden revelation is given to Nathaniel, who says, you're the Son of God, the King of Israel. And then oddly, Jesus replies, you believe because I saw you under the fig tree? You would think that when Nathanael says what he said, confessing the identity of Jesus, Jesus might have given him at least a little affirmation. But what he says instead is this what moves you, that you're known? You'll see greater things by far than these. And he begins to speak of the skies opening and of angels going up and coming down so that all things come together in Jesus. Though none of that makes sense, Nathaniel then and there decides to become a follower of Jesus. I love this man. I like him for his prejudice. how honest he is about it, and for what he does with it. That he's a skeptic, and yet open enough to check out what he thinks he can't believe in. And that when Jesus says, "You've no idea how big the truth really is," this man is hooked. But let's go back to his prejudice, his bias against Nazareth. Philip had Nathanael's full attention when he said, "We found the one." But when he said, "Where the one came from," Nathanael was done. No one could come from such a place whom the world was waiting for. You know, it doesn't hurt that Nathanael is from a village right next to Nazareth. You know how negative people can be about close by places, comparisons made in favor with ourselves, knowing that we are superior to them. Like some of you saying, "Can anything good come out of Ohio?" And I reckon plenty of people in these parts would say about us, "Can anything good come from Baptists? For that matter, can anything truly good come from a church?" But isn't it lovely to be pleasantly surprised? We should all have more such surprises, and we would be pleasantly surprised more often if we give it more of a chance. But on how many levels are we closed against it, consciously or not? Think about it. Aren't there people whom you know a little, whom you would assume have nothing wondrous in them, who could never offer some magnificent new insight or love? Can anything good come from them? We're not open to it. We're similarly closed about any present moment. Can anything really good come from this particular day? Are we open to the possibility that on this very day, there is the actual possibility that something marvelous can come? Are we open to it? And then there is yourself. You've been around long enough to know that nothing really vitally new and joyous and holy is going to be born in you. So ask yourself the question, can anything really good come from me? How is it that we can be so biased, consciously or not, against other people, against the present moment, against ourselves? The possibilities in them all. Our hearts are buried under a mountain of dull assumptions, and we lack the slenderest faith that in all places and times, in all circumstances, in all people, the divine awaits and is able to give newness to birth. part of what it means to be a child of God is refusing to live in a closed world and a closed mind. So yes, we could learn from the skeptic Nathaniel. He starts with what sounds like a closed mind, but he's at least open enough to get up and go see for himself. He's open to an experience he hasn't had before. He's got doubts, but he takes his doubts on a walk. And that's the balance that can give new life, to be skeptical, but open to new disclosures. And it's often the way of spiritual discovery. We're not sure, for example, there's a God who really listens when we pray. And then we pray and pause tomorrow again to pray and to pray again, and something is new. We're not sure that giving more of ourselves and of what we have is really worth it. And then we try giving more and more of ourselves and our possessions, and something new is born. Oh, you're skeptical? Yes. Now venture something, because very often you will not get more light until you move with the light you've got. Sure enough, when Nathaniel makes his walk, he gets more light. He finds that in this person from Nazareth, of all places, he, Nathaniel, is profoundly known. Then insight starts flooding into him, and he blurts out what he now knows, or is pretty sure he does. You're the promised one. You believe because you're known. Oh, friend, you'll see greater things than these. I like these lines from the poet R.S. Thomas. Anonymous presence, grant that when I come questioning, it is not with the dictionary in one hand and the microscope in the other. People like us may be under the impression that we are open-minded, but are our minds really so open concerning what God is and is not, or where not, what God means and what might be wanted of us or possible for us? Are our minds and hearts so open for more to be revealed? Would we know it and accept it if it were? And then when it is, would we trust what it gives and follow? Thank God we have had our glimpses. And all the glimpses are pointing forward. So let us make certain that we are living open to more, searching for more, receptive to more, giving ourselves to more, And may the Spirit ever keep you open to new discoveries in faith, new discoveries in love. And may God grant you the courage to follow them. And so we keep moving forward as we're able, which includes continuing to give of what we have and of who we are and who God calls us to be. We make our offerings then, our act of worship, of hope, and of love. Holy God, all gifts we have to bring are yours, all in response to the massive, beautiful gift, the perfect gift of your love for the world. Receive what we offer and use it for your purpose of love in this world and beyond. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Grateful in the love of God for us all, and so grateful for each other, we extend to each other the best of gifts. May the peace of Christ be with you. And now, dear friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's own face shine upon you and give you every grace. Grace never to sell yourself short. Grace to give something big for something good. Grace to know that the world is now too small for anything but love and too dangerous for anything but truth. So may Christ take your minds and think through them. May Christ take your lips and speak through them. May Christ take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.